You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Eddie Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to head to Belize today. Well, at least some friends got to go to Belize, and we get to share their story today. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Micah Wildauer, his missionary serving the Lord in Belize. Pastor Wildauer, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also joining us today, Beverly Wildauer. She is a volunteer from Grand Island, Nebraska, led a teacher training team in Belize. Beverly, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And the Reverend Weston Wildauer serves Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. He recently led an English family Bible camp in Belize. Pastor Wildauer, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, you may notice that everyone is named, has the last name Wildauer. There is a connection. We'll explain that in just a moment. Let's start with how everybody got involved with serving in this short-term mission. Beverly, you want to share with us how you got involved serving as a volunteer leading a teacher training in Belize? How did you get connected with this opportunity to serve?
Well, I've known Micah from the time he went overseas. And this spring in April, he sent me a message that said, "And then, I was wondering if you would consider coming to Belize and leading a teacher training service for our preschool teachers." He knew my life had been spent. In fact, 36 and a half years, I spent at LCM as an LCM Missouri Synod Lutheran preschool teacher. I graduated from Concordia Seward in 1973. So I guess I knew a little bit about preschool education. And so he gave me the opportunity. And the first thing I said, well, oh, and the other thing, it depends on how travel savvy you are. Because, of course, I was going to Belize. And I'd never been out of the country. So I said, I'm going to pray about it, and I will let you know. So that was my first step. My second step was to go to my friend, Eunice McCarty, who ended up going with me, who is the early childhood coordinator consultant for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the Nebraska District. And through her, we found out that, I found out there was a new video series just for early childhood education on sharing the faith. So in that process, we decided to use that as our core for the time we were there.
Fantastic. We'll talk a little bit more about what you actually did on the field in just a second, but Pastor Weston Wildauer, how did you learn about the opportunity to serve?
Yeah, well, my congregation has been supporting Micah and his family for a while. And when he got to Belize, we continued to support him and then said, well, how else can we help? So we got connected with the Belize Foro that meets twice a year. And we started having conversations there and said, well, what can we do? What can we do to help? And it came up that there was already the English as a second language classes that were going on throughout the year. And they said, well, this could be a great way to help as to come and do a family camp for a few days and be there. So just kind of took off from there.
Pastor Weston, how did you prepare for this trip to go lead an English language Bible camp in Belize?
Well, we'd gone last year, so this was our second year of doing it, so that made it a little bit easier. But the time with the other people that were going, we had video chats and communication with all of the or most of the missionaries in Belize, and just what was needed and what we needed to bring, and even take down car parts for Micah and his family. So we prepared a whole bunch of different ways. A lot of time in prayer and Bible study together as our team went down and discussions with the missionaries that are already there.
Beverly, you said you had a lot of training in preschool education already, so that part you probably didn't have to do a lot of prep for, but what were the other ways that you prepared to do a teacher training in Belize?
Well, as I said, we had this curriculum course that we put together, and Eunice and I, when she agreed to go with me, we met together about every other week, and we were reached out to various people through the congregations that we belong to for telling them what we were doing and how they could support us. And we wanted to take the school, not only teach the class, but give the teachers resources to use in the classroom, Bible story books, Bibles, and even other books and materials. So throughout the day, we could do different activities, puzzles, games, all related to the Bible stories that were part that Pastor Micah has put together for the year in their school, the curriculum.
Beverly, tell us about some of the people that you got to meet through your experience serving as a volunteer.
First of all, there were the missionaries, of course, Micah and his family, who I've known a long time, of course. And then Pastor Herb and Marky, who I happened to meet before I went in May. He was on home leave, and he had been to Mission Central and was going to Nebraska. He has an aunt and uncle, although he said his aunt has gone on to be with the Lord since then. And they came to Grand Island and took me out to eat, and we had a great discussion. I fell in love with them when I first met them. So easy to talk to, so much fun, and so many ideas. Marky gave me lots of ideas. Now, this is what they really need. If you can bring that with you, please do. So that was the first encounter, besides Micah, of course. And then when we arrived, Ann McKenzie, who's based in the Dominican Republic, came to the airport, picked us up, and she drove us around all over. She took us to Camp Concordia, where we stayed in an apartment. Every day she would drive us out to the school in Valley of Peace, where we would have our workshop. And then also we met Reverend Benjamin and Karina Flores, and their two cute little boys that are also working with Micah and Pastor Herb to the mission. And we were blessed that Benjamin took us on a home visit to a family that had mother has a son with special needs, and it was just such a blessing to be part of it. I couldn't understand a word because he was speaking in Spanish, but Aaron was right beside me telling me what the Bible passage was, and that was the missionaries. Then we had two teachers that we worked with, Alba and Erlinda, and I'm not going to try to pronounce their last names. They both were fluent in both English and Spanish, and we fell in love with them, and they were so excited and so energetic and got right into the program and were willing to just do anything they could. After the first day, we came back the next day and already started doing things that we had just suggested that they consider doing. You know, we told them, do what you can, little by little, because here's some ideas. So it was awe-inspiring for me. I really, really felt the Lord's work guiding us during that time with feet boys.
Pastor Weston, what about you? Who are some of the people that you got to meet and serve alongside in Belize?
Yeah, some of the same people, for sure. I did a lot of work with Pastor Flores because when we did the English Family Bible Camp, we broke it up into adults and then kids for most of the time. And Pastor Flores and I took care of working with the kids. And so we would plan things out for the day and then, you know, do different activities depending on where the kids were at in their English and how much they understood throughout the afternoon. So I worked with him quite a bit, and that was great. Jordan and Justin Logston as well were missionaries in Belize, and Jordan was leading the English Family Bible Camp. So worked with them quite a bit. But then just some of the people from the community were great. I worked, again, more with the kids. And so just wonderful to listen to them at ages from probably 2-3 years old all the way up to 14, 15. And any older than that, they were probably going with the adults and doing that. But just we played football, soccer, football with them, or did other activities and that kind of stuff. And they were just great. They wanted to hear. They wanted to learn. It was fantastic.
We are learning about serving on short-term missions, whether it's serving as a teacher in teacher training in Belize or leading an English Family Bible Camp in Belize. We're talking with our guests from the Wildauer extended family today. We'll talk with the missionary Pastor Micah in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Oh, this wooden toy set is really, really fun.
It is.
We could pretend it's like real life.
Kids love to play, and play that points to Jesus is a big part of a child's faith journey. Wooden toys from Wicking Vicar do just that, growing the faith through play. Wicking Vicar's Children's Church playset lets little ones delve into the divine service, and the Children's Advent Wreath is a safe way for kids to make the Advent tradition their own. Solid wood and heirloom quality for children ages 3 and up. Order yours today at wickingvicar.com and click on Wooden Toys in the menu bar. This Christmas, gift the children in your life faith-building wooden toys from Wicking Vicar.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're learning about serving on short-term missions today. Our focus is on Belize. Our guests from the extended Wildauer family, the Reverend Micah Wildauer, serves as missionary in Belize, and Beverly Wildauer was a volunteer who served in teacher training in Belize, and the Reverend Weston Wildauer served leading an English Family Bible Camp in Belize. Pastor Micah, tell us about how you get to serve every day as a missionary in Belize.
That's just a wonderful question, Andy. When people hear Belize, they're often thinking of the sandy beaches, or snorkeling or something like that. That's not the daily living here in Belize by any means. But the beauty of living in Belize, especially where we live in the capital city of Belmopan, a bustling metropolis of 20,000 people, not many, it would seem, but is the national capital, and yet a mix of every ethnic group here in Belize. There are 8 major language groups. English is the national language, but one should know Spanish or possibly Creole. There are German speakers. There's a large Mennonite population, 3 Mayan languages, Garifuna, and so forth. It's just an amazing mix of people from all over Belize, but also all over the world as well here. So living in Belize and serving, always on one's toes to know which language to speak, first of all, in any conversation, but also to know that really everybody has some kind of a background, some kind of story that has brought them to Belize, or that they've been born and raised here and are just so welcoming as well. So serving as a missionary, a career missionary here has been such a blessing and really an eye-opening experience, not only for me, but for my family, for the other missionaries as well. We've mentioned Pastor Birch. He served as a missionary in Guatemala, Peru, pastor in California. Pastor Flores, he's from Bolivia. We served as a missionary family in Africa 5 years. So coming to Belize, a lot of experience, but this is still unique in and of itself. and the opportunities abound for everybody that is here to be able to preach the gospel and bring the good news of Christ to them.
What does that look like for you? What are some ways that you're able to serve all of the different people that you get to meet in Belize?
There is no day-to-day routine, I would say, at this point, is where we are really starting fresh in terms of planting a church. And by that, not just a congregation, but a national church. There is no true national church in the sense of like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or the National Church in Guatemala that has many congregations. We are working on establishing the first congregations. So depending on where you're at, down south where we started a southern part of Belize on a peninsula in Sine Bight, that's mainly the Garifuna people there, mix of Garifuna, Creole, some Latinos as well. In Valley of Peace, where my relatives helped to serve, that's primarily Salvadoran refugees that have been there for 40 some years, and mixed with Mayan as well, that have moved to that area. Up north, where I work with a Peruvian transplant up there to serve some congregations, mainly Spanish speaking, different type of Mayan background for many of them as well. It really is kind of a day-to-day situational thing. I may be working one day with a lady who has Spanish background on one side of her family, Mayan on the other. The next day, I am out in Valley of Peace on a visit, an English-speaking visit with Pastor Flores, followed by a Spanish language visit with somebody else. So that's kind of that ministry in a nutshell. Here is the visits are just phenomenal and often very hospitable. Belizeans are very hospitable, welcoming, often with some kind of a cold beverage. Being tropical, it's something nice to have cold water offered as well.
That's a lot of language to manage in one day, and thinking and translating into different languages. I'm sure that's challenging at times.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the partnership with short-term teams, like these teams that your family members now... And they're not all the teams are extended family members of yours. Just so happens
this is
the
correct,
two that we're
yes.
talking about today happen to be related. Tell us about the short-term teams that you get to work with and how that makes a difference or helps you carry out the work that you've been given to do in Belize.
Absolutely. In terms of preaching the gospel, planting churches, and then showing the mercy as well, is it certainly helps to have support outside, to know, first of all, we're not alone. In the mission field, we're not just simply sent. And back in the days, I remember professors saying the missions used to be they'd send the missionaries and say, okay, we'll see you in heaven. And there'd be very little connection after that other than letters and so forth. Now, with travel and everything, it's very inviting. And honestly, here in Belize, it's unique in the sense of when people are looking, well, we have a short-term team, we want to go somewhere, let's look at a map. And a lot will say, well, we don't speak Spanish. Is there an English-speaking country? Well, you got Jamaica, you have Belize, you have the Cayman Islands. Well, Belize is a hot spot for that because you can get around in English pretty well. So receiving teams is very common, not just Lutherans, but very much interdenominationally here. The Belize Mission Society is one agency that works primarily in the southern part of the country, in a couple of the villages there. They send quite a few teams to help medical teams, clinics, dentists, and so forth, and always doing Bible studies. That helps to draw people's attention to the congregations that we are establishing in the villages. For Valley of Peace, it was something where we're learning the community as pastors here on the ground, primarily focused on evangelism and meeting some of the needs of the people through that. And we find out, well, what are some of the needs? And Valley of Peace was Salvadorians, multi-generational, coming and going and wanting to be a part of Belize. We say, well, English is a big part of that. Let's start an ESL program. There's no other group or agency in this village of 4,500 people teaching English, and they're asking for it. Let's do that. So Jordan Logston helped to get that program going. And we said, let's have a camp that is intensifying that effort. And I said, well, who do we know who can come? What congregation? And I said, hey, I know a guy as a pastor there in Cape Girardeau. I know it sounds French, but they speak English and can come and do their thing. And so 2 years now doing that. We have a preschool, also Valley of Peace, that is bilingual every day, in and out. But teachers who are not well-trained in what it means to be a Lutheran educator. And they said, well, let's have a workshop following on the heels of a short-term teacher, Sue Kessler, that we had with them, so that they themselves are teaching these Bible stories in between the chapel service. Hey, I know a preschool teacher. Let's call Bev, my Aunt Bev. So some of the connections with the family, not always family related, but it is partly of who do we know? Let's see which congregations are involved and might be interested in sending somebody even for a short time.
It does help to know people who are capable of doing things as it is in this instance. And that's so wonderful that you know family members who can come and serve alongside you in Belize. What do you think, what do you see as some of the future needs for the people that you're serving in Belize, some of the needs that short-term teams could fill in the future?
Belize is definitely a developing country. The population is not great. I already mentioned Belmopan upon itself. The country itself has around 400,000 people. Now, I served in Milwaukee for 7 years. That was basically the population right there. Just Milwaukee as compared to Belize. But it's mainly rural, which also presents challenges to a very small government in terms of education and medical care, I would say. So if I were to look forward and say, okay, what are some of the things that we would need in the future? I'm thinking 5 years out and so forth. There's always eyeglass clinics coming through, but some of the specialty areas, orthopedics, there's always a need for orthopedics to come through. People with disabilities, knowing what is best for their well-being. Dental is another one where there's limited care there. But also simple health education, which we know that Qi exists and tapping into that eventually. We are also looking specifically, not just to simply go into any village and do this, but that it's always attached to the preaching of the gospel and that planting of the church. So looking at Sinbite, Valley of Peace, Orange Walk, and San Roman, the places where we have congregations right now, and then future plants so that there's an attachment to where we are preaching the word and having Bible studies and the like. So I'm looking at those communities and seeing what their needs are. Pastor Flores, to answer more specifically the question, Pastor Flores is looking into Valley of Peace and saying, okay, what are the very specific education points or medical needs of this community that they don't have at a relatively new clinic? Working alongside the village chairman, the local doctor, and so forth. So we're not just overstepping our bounds in terms of mercy endeavors, but walking alongside of them and providing where there is a gap. So I mentioned like orthopedics. There's quite a few disabled children and adults both that are in need of some direction for that. That would be one example of something in the future where we might have a team of orthopedic surgeons or doctors that would come and a physical therapist that would come and help in that respect.
Pastor Weston, what does this mean for you and your congregation being connected to the Lord's work in Belize? What does this mean for your congregation to be connected to this mission?
Sure. Well, it means that we're not just staying where we are. We are ministering to people here in Cape Girardeau. We're meeting their needs, but we're also going out to the world and helping the mission throughout the world. And where we can't be boots on the ground in Belize all the time, we can do it for a week here or there, but we can very much support and lift up the work that is being done there. And we could do that year round. And so it's just a huge thing for our congregation to look outside of ourselves and say, yeah, we can be a part of this bigger church that God has given to us.
Now, Bev, what does this mean for you and your congregation in Grand Island, Nebraska, to be connected with and supporting this mission in the Belize?
Well, I'm not personally attending the church in Grand Island. My church is at Zion Worms. That's about 15 miles northeast. I used to be at Peace, and they have support missionaries, and that was one way they reached out to the world. I think Michael was one of those pre-missionaries at one time and others that they knew through the congregation that were suggested. So, yes, it allows us to be out in the world helping those who are sharing the gospel when we cannot personally be there. And that's what I see a reason for doing the contributions. I personally do support Micah in Belize. and a couple of other missionaries. I've been blessed to be able to do that. And so I want to, now that I've met more missionaries, I want to support more. I'll see what I can do.
Pastor Micah, what's your invitation to those listening today to be involved in serving on a team or supporting the Lord's work in places like Belize?
There is a lot of opportunity. Whenever visiting congregations in the States, I often encourage, I say, the best way to support us is to start right here. Pray for your congregation, pray for your pastor, pray for members you have not seen in a while, find out how they're doing. People say, what does that have to do with mission? It has everything to do with mission. Starting with a strong home congregation and a pastor turns ourselves away from our own bellies and into the communities around us, from the community to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And the invitation is there to say, hey, we are Christians without borders, and we can support in various ways, if not by a contribution, by practically being there, if even with our own skill set for a week or two. And Belize is a very fertile place for that, for the teams that are able to come and through the various means that are at our disposal here. It's a great way to connect and to strengthen one's faith while strengthening the faith of the others here in Belize. And making those connections to see that the word goes forth, regardless of what country one might be in, regardless of what language or ethnic background, the word is still going forth from the days of Pentecost till now, and the church continues to grow.
Our guest today, Beverly Wildauer from Grand Island, Nebraska, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me. It was a nice
Wonderful being here.
The Reverend Weston Wildauer of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Pastor Weston, thanks so much for being our guest.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And the Reverend Micah Wildauer, missionary serving the Lord in Belize. Pastor Micah, thanks so much.
Thank you. Lord's blessings to you all.
You can learn more about opportunities to serve by visiting servenow.lcms.org. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.